I want to talk in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, before I read all of these things, I want you to notice what it says specifically. When Jesus saw the crowds, plural, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Notice what he wasn't doing. He wasn't teaching the crowds. He was teaching his disciples. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely." Now remember, he's saying this to his disciples. "Saying all kinds of false kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." Now, before I read any further, I want you to know how each of these is an opposite. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who have nothing will have everything. When we talk about poor in spirit, we're talking about people who are humble. People who have nothing as far as this world is concerned, and that's the meaning of it. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They have nothing, they'll have everything. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. They're mourning here, but there they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, how's that an opposite? What is the opposite about being meek and then inheriting the earth? Notice how both of these are the same. It's the same people that will both inherit the earth and the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, which is an interesting point you should consider, considering our previous conversation. Anyway, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. How is meek an opposite of that? Because the meek do not take for themselves. See, that's part of the understanding of meekness, of being meek. The meek prefers others above themselves. They don't take, so they will be given. So we could look at both of those, that when it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." We could say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," as being, "Blessed are those who have nothing, for they will have everything." Blessed are the meek that will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who take nothing, for they will be given everything. You see that? How many of you see that? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting. They will be filled. It's the opposite. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Anyway, he goes on to say in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, this lines up exactly with being salt. Salt will have an effect. Right? As long as it maintains its saltiness. A light has an effect as long as it's not hidden. If you hide a light, just like salt losing its saltiness, the same thing happens, doesn't it? It's of no effect. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Letting your light shine is not about witnessing. It's rather, it's about God witnessing to you, isn't it? Because when they see your good deeds, they will glorify God. Right? That's letting your light shine. Do good openly. That's what we're talking about, a city on its hill, or salt acting as a preservative, losing its saltiness. It does no good. You know, let them see what you really are. Come to the light. And this lines up with the other scripture that says, he that comes to the light shows that his deeds are wrought of God. Right? Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I truly tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. In other words, as long as there's something physical to rule over, the law will rule over the flesh physical. When does the law cease to be in effect at all? When there is nothing under its purview. That's when heaven and earth are destroyed, isn't it? Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar first and go be reconciled to them, and then come after your gift. And this is just the same thing as saying, how can you say you love God and hate your brother? Right? How can you say you love God and hate your brother? Saying the same thing, isn't it? First, deal with what you can fix. And what you can't fix, you must trust to God. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, for your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. This has a tier, several tiers of application. You know, the overall one is that you're on your court, which God is the judge, right? Again, it's about dealing with the things first. Well, if somebody has something against you, you don't want anybody accusing you of anything. Not a brother or sister, not the devil according to the law, not anybody. Right? Settle those things first. What you can settle. It's better to argue with them on the way to judgment than to stand in judgment for these things. You've heard it said, you should not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. It's the same thing about, this is the exact same thing where it says, I tell you, anyone who is angry with his brother and sister will be subject to judgment. You've heard it said, not murder. I'm telling you, just being angry makes you subject to judgment. It's the same thing with adultery. You know, you've heard it said adultery's wrong. I'm telling you, anybody who does it in his heart is guilty. This is where we start to see things is a matter of the nature and a matter of the heart before it's an action. This is about dealing things with the root, dealing with the root of the problem. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Dealing with the root of the problem. Before it ever gets to judgment, stop the accusation. Before it ever gets to murder, you know, stop the anger. Before it ever gets to adultery, stop the lust. You see a pattern here? How many of you see that pattern? It must be stopped in the spiritual before it's ever manifested. It must be stopped in the spiritual before it's ever manifested to the physical. Again, you've heard it said by the to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven or by God's throne. Again, this is the same thing. What is it that causes us to swear things? Remember what it says in James? It is our hubris. Don't say, I'm going to go to this city and stay there for a year and make money. You say, the Lord willing, I will go to this city and make money and spend a year. Don't say in your heart, I'm going to do this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Again, we're talking about dealing with something before it's manifested in the flesh. Instead of worrying about having to pay an oath, just like pay a judgment, stop it before it gets to that point. Don't make the oath. Do you see these three things? About being angry with your brother so it doesn't end in murder. You stop it when it's there. So it doesn't end in adultery. You stop it in your heart. So it doesn't end up a vow you've made to God that you're held accountable for. Don't make the vow. Stop all of this stuff in the spiritual before it's manifested. Deal with the judgment for your life before it ends up in court, before the judgment is manifested. Everything back to the nature, isn't it? How many of you see that? I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, or for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. See, you, that's the hubris of swearing by God. In other words, all this stuff is in God's control. That's his throne. That's his footstool, right? And the city is, he is the king of that city, not you. Look at the hubris of that. That's your will above his will is what it works out to in swearing an oath like that. Do not swear by your head, for you can't even make one hair white or black. You can't change anything. Again, you cannot change the nature. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. It is the evil one who will tempt you to swear. Like it's the evil one who tempts you with anger. Like the evil one who tempts you with lust. And all of these things are manifested in murder, adultery, oath breaking. You see? You've heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them also the other cheek also. Why? Why, when the law says eye for eye and tooth for tooth? You see, that's God's judgment, isn't it? They did what they were commanded to do according to the law. But just like they forgot it's God's throne and God's footstool and God's city, and they're making their oaths, they forgot it's God who takes vengeance. And they began to use the law as an excuse to do what they want to do, because they want vengeance. It's about spending it on their passions. It's not judgment. Don't resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Because the object is, again, this is prevention, just like the other things. You do not want mercilessness to be what is manifested in your life, do you? Show mercy. Show mercy. Trust, this is about trusting God with all judgment. This is about trusting God with all judgment. Just like you trust God not to make the oath, trust God for him to handle what needs to be handled. Turn the other cheek to them to show that you are willing to show the mercy that you're looking to get from God. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Remember, you have the kingdom of heaven. I just told you that. The meek shall inherit the earth, right? The poor in spirit will receive the kingdom of heaven. You can afford to give whatever it is they would want to take. So what is not manifested back to you? Mercilessness and unforgiveness. You're showing them mercy. You're giving them more than they would steal. You're giving them more than they would take from you. Because that's what you want done to you. Right? If anyone forces you to go to a mile, go with them 2 miles. Now, notice how all of this only applies according to the nature and the spirit and eternity. None of this applies to the flesh. Because if somebody takes your coat and you give them their cloak also, you're going to be without it. If somebody hits you on one cheek and you turn the other, you're going to have two sore cheeks. All that's the flesh. But that's not what we're looking at, is it? The object is to not have any of these things manifest in the flesh because of us. The object is all of this is looking for God to have an eternal hold upon us, an eternal forgiveness for us, and to keep us clean from being involved and entangled with the things of this world. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I mean, two things. Not only are you showing that merciful, that's that you want, but also you are showing that you understand that it's not the people that you're your enemies. It is the devil that is your enemy, the adversary, the powers and the principalities. You show them, you show you know this. When you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Only if the physical life was all there was would you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you your enemies, but I tell you love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Remember, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs, remember, they'll be called the children of God. Children of your Father in heaven, he causes his Son, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Now, what reward are you looking for? The physical or the spiritual? The temporary or the eternal? Are you looking to hold on to your biscuit here? Or will you give it up and to have a better biscuit there? You see what I'm saying? So what reward do you have if you take all of these things for yourself? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. All of this is the emulation of heaven. All of this is designed to show that you know what the truth is. All of this is designed is that the things you want manifested are the things that you do that are of God. Because that's what you want to show. It shows that you are of God. And it shows that you are God's children. You don't want anything manifested that shows you're of this world. That's kind of the key here, isn't it? For all of these blessings to be yours, for all of these blessings that mentions to be yours, you must not allow the flesh to manifest itself through you, or the devil to manifest himself through you. What must be manifested from you must come from heaven. And this is what it brings us back to the origins of our works. Well, the origins of our works is also the origin of our viewpoint. None of these are about a worldly viewpoint. These are all about a heavenly viewpoint. None of these are about a I want my stuff now viewpoint. All of these are about a patient viewpoint, because eternal people are patient. None of these are about I'll take for myself. All of these are about I will trust God and give. Do you see how all of this is aimed at the eternal? It's not about you just being a good person. It's about showing what kingdom you're of. And he has made it you to understand, and this brings us back to the first verse I told you to remember, and we'll go back to this first verse. When Jesus saw the crowds and he went up on the mountainside and sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them and said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, who will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." All the way through, right? This is what he would teach his disciples, his disciplined ones, those who would follow him. This isn't for the world. And this is where we make up our minds whether we are his disciples. And all of these things that we don't do and that we do, every one of them reflect what kingdom you're of, don't they? Let me ask you, does that change Matthew 5 a little bit for you, the Beatitudes? Because none of these can you do without the Spirit of God. This viewpoint only works according to the Spirit and to faith. Because it is all about deferring it's about deferring your desires and your life and putting everyone else's ahead of you, not begrudging them what they get on this world, because you know you have better and lasting possessions. And what's more, the things you allow to be demonstrated or manifested through you show who you're of. They show that you are of the kingdom of heaven and God's children. That's something. We can go pretty much anywhere where Jesus gave these instructions and these kinds of instructions and see this same kind of thing. What you want manifested are the things that show you are God's children. You're a light in the world. You're a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's the main point, isn't it? What you let be manifested through you. Because judgment, wrath, adultery, and murder are not what you want manifested through you. Deal with it before it's ever manifested. Deal with it now in the heart. Because the Word of God is a two-edged sword, able to pierce your heart. You now, through the Holy Spirit, have a choice. What will be manifested through your flesh. And that's something that a lot of Christians don't get. That's a good place to stop.